Hello. So we're back again with our Rehab Talks podcast. We haven't done one in a while because certain people have been on holiday. Mentioning no names.
Well, you've got to mention Peter. Names, otherwise nobody will know who's here, for heaven's sake.
I spent a fortune on that holiday and I want people to know about it.
Where did you go?
Portugal.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
So we're going to talk about persuasive technology today. We've got Gordon, our head of technology.
Oh no, I'm not actually head of technology anymore. I used to be head of technology, but I've been demoted now. I just go around cleaning the wheels on everybody's chairs because I get grime build up. It's quite a serious problem here.
That's the worst joke you've ever done.
Thank you.
Thanks. We've got Peter, our creative technologist here, and we've also got Gabby, our strategy director. We're very excited to have her here talking about persuasive technology.
Hi everybody, thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm very excited to be here. I've been waiting for an invite for this whole
life.
How many episodes?
Four
episodes. Yeah. I've been waiting for an invite.
We're just glad you were so easily persuaded to join in.
Without the use of technology. Nice. Cool, so let's start with the basics. Gabriella, how would you describe persuasive technology?
So my understanding is the use of tech, broadly speaking, in order to change people's habits or attitudes towards a certain activity or behavior. I think that almost every app or product that is being built now is built with persuasive technology into it. So whether it's from receiving a notification or your endless refreshing abilities that you have now, those are all created in order to make us mere humans interact with the product in a certain way and create certain habits. So I think almost everything that we use has elements of that in. At the top of my mind, I think that there's on Snapchat, you can see when somebody is typing to you, but sometimes they don't send that. And that makes you anticipate what is going to come more. So it makes you stay in the app more often, and that's sort of a use of persuasion. Persuasion can also be used in forming positive habits. So like your Fitbit or MyFitnessPal. Both those apps have been created to use sort of self-affirming messages and social influence in order to get you to either run more or eat less. But both of those are using persuasion in positive ways to create positive change for people rather than just dwell time within an app.
Where's the line between persuasive technology that tries to influence your behavior for, let's presume, good, and manipulative technology that just tries to keep you contained within a single app with the emphasis on gaining the app maker or the technology maker gaining understanding of your behavior and being able to monetize that or being able to monetize you directly?
That's a really interesting question. I think there's a lot of debate around that recently, with us as users being the part of the product that they're selling onto other people, and with us as the users and our attention being the most valuable asset within these apps and media spend and advertising dollars being a big part of the apps that we spend our time in. Sometimes it's hard to draw the line completely and understand whether it's for complete good or whether it's just they're using us as a way to make us spend more time in those places. I think a very clear sort of definition is anything that is done without the user being aware of that decision being made. So coercion is not ethical as such. But I do believe that moving forward with persuasive tech and our notifications and our apps and the products we use being such a huge part of our lives, we need to make sure that we're building ethically and morally and take these things into consideration.
Cool. Yeah, you sent me someone really interesting, right, Gabriella? Tristan Harris, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's an ex-Googler who was in the ethical lab or something like that, ethics committee. And now he does like TED Talks and a bunch of that stuff. And I was reading a couple of his posts because you told me about him. I mean, he makes some interesting points about how technology is distracting from our lives. And once you're, when you get a notification, for example, to check your emails or check your Twitter or whatever it is, you're in there and then you lose 20 minutes. And they want you to lose as much time as possible. To Peter's and your point earlier on why YouTube autoplays videos and Netflix, etc. It's about consuming our time, distracting us and consuming our time to maximize revenue for them, when it should be about addressing what needs we have for that technology at that time. For example, if I go for dinner with my son, which sometimes happens, just the two of us, I want to spend the time with him, but my phone beeps and then I'm in there and I lose like a minute. And then I feel bad. I don't want to do that. That's not what I'm there for. So it's that kind of tension, isn't it, between what technology could enable us to do and what it's currently doing, which is distracting and, you know, stealing time for itself to maximize its profit.
Yeah, to give some examples of, like, with notifications specifically, if my wife sends me a text message, I want to be notified of that immediately. I want to know that she's trying to get in touch with me so that I can reply to her. Whereas I think one of the worst examples I've seen of this recently is Facebook, who have started sending you things for, like, their notifications for things like, hey, your friend just posted for the first time in a while, and hey, this person hasn't heard from you in a long time, and it's not telling me anything, it's just incentivizing me or manipulating me back into right. using Facebook.
That's you sent me this, Gabby, I know I watched this Gamba Tamman expert, but that's one of the examples he gives. You've been tagged in a photo, then you're into Facebook, and then you've lost 20 minutes, even because you can't not check that out. It could be anything. It could be you dancing around naked. It could be you giving a serious... You don't know what it is. It doesn't give you the information. You're into their system. So, yeah, it's a very interesting area.
And with that in mind, I think now there's more of a trend of people turning off their mobiles, taking charge and switching off notifications and deciding which app they would like to let through. I also hope that in the future we'll be given a suite of tools that will allow us to decide who we get notified by. So Peter will always hear from his wife, and you will always be able to turn your phone off when you're with your son. But I think with the understanding of this and the studies of persuasive technology going forward, us as users will hopefully be able to have more choice in that, rather than being on the back end of the receiving end and continuously responding to...
But we're responding with our base instincts, isn't it? It's another thing the guy makes. It's like slot machines is the most profitable industry in the States because it's appealing to your base. You know, I want to check what it is. You can't not check out what that photo is on Facebook, right?
Yeah, and if you look at Nir Eyal's hook model around building apps that form habits, it's all around using triggers that are based on your core human needs. So whether it's, you know, an internal feeling of negativity like boredom or loneliness, therefore you are triggered to maybe use an app such as Facebook and Instagram, which will quite quickly satisfy your needs, so you've gotten the reward and you feel better about it, and then the sort of cycle continues onwards.
It's also interesting that in the latest release of Android, Google have very much focused notifications, and they're giving them priorities. They have these things called notification channels, which every app must opt into if they want to supply notifications. And that gives the user more fine-grained control over which they want to have priority for. So if an app is saying this is a direct communication like SMS, you could have that in your high priority channel. Whereas if it's just, you know, here is a thing that has happened, that would be in a separate channel, and you would be able to kind of, as a user, prioritize those down. And also, that's the technology providing the human choice. Mm-hmm. But also in the latest version of Inbox, also by Google, there is an option to use machine learning to send you notifications of the highest priority messages as they understand it, rather than you choosing which ones those are.
What do you think, Rosie? Do you think technology is tricking you and stealing your time, or do you feel it's enhancing your life? I'm sure it's a mixture of both, but can you think of any examples when you've been distracted or not given your attention to actually what you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Peter said is really interesting, because sometimes it happens to me where I'll get these like really annoying messages on Facebook, and I'll go and turn off my notifications in my settings, but that turns off all notifications like for the whole app, which is such a like huge brushstroke, because as you said, like sometimes there's things that I want to know if I've been tagged in the photo like ASAP. I'm like, I'm 23, so I want to know.
You're 23, yeah. Where, you're not old and dead like me.
So if I've been tagged, I want to know right now.
Right.
Whereas like, you know, and things like birthdays, because I always forget people's birthdays. So like when it tells me every morning whose birthday it is, that's great, because I remember my best friend's birthday once. But I don't want to know, yeah, like half the other stuff. So I think it would be, I mean, I don't know, obviously I know why they do it, because they monetize off it, but it'd be good if you could have some kind of like control over what notifications you want and which you don't. But I do think like a lot of it is about the user as well. Like there is, you know, like you go out for dinner. Why do you not turn it off? Why do you have it on if you're with your son?
Why don't you turn your phone off when you're with your son? The question is, why are you such a bad parent?
Let me answer that question directly. Right, Ryan. Come on.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, you know, what is it? What's the mental state that you're in that you feel like you should have your notifications on?
That makes it sound worse.
Well, no, but I'm being...
Put the spade down.
If I go out with my, like, parents for dinner, you know, I'm not allowed my phone at the table.
Are you not?
No, we all have to put our phones...
All right.
And I think a lot more people are doing that now. Like, with my best friends and stuff, if we all go out for a big dinner, we'll all, like, pile our phones in the middle of the table.
Well, that's a good thing. I have to answer that bad parenting issue.
No, you're not a bad parent. I'm just saying, like...
No.
It's an interesting thing in our psychology that we feel like we're kind of... it's like phone.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like, I do it at the weekends. I often, like, leave my phone at home if I'm going to the playground or something like that. Yeah. In this instance, I'm going to the day to London, taking to the opticians, maybe somebody we need to contact. Yeah, I need my phone there. And a notification comes up from something like Slack or a work email or something like that, and then I'm in there, even though I don't want to be. So it's kind of like, again, Tristan Harris is so good at this stuff, talks all about it. He said the choices we have now are all on, as in ping, 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 notification, or off, as in, like, often when I'm watching TV with my wife, I'll be like, let's leave the phones, like, over there in the other side of the house so we can just relax for an hour. So that's the kind of choice we have now, everything on or everything off. I can't be everything off if I'm away from, you know, if you're away from friends and loved ones. You can't really switch it off the whole time, can you?
No.
So that's the thing. Ideally, you'd be able to grade your notifications or just somehow quickly update your status, you know, having lunch. Even when I go to lunch at work, it's like bzz, bzz, bzz in my pocket. It's like, oh, I don't want that now. Just half an hour of peace. So I guess that's the quandary, right?
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is all of these use cases kind of are addressed by the options we already have. You can turn off notifications for individual apps. You can put your phone on to do not disturb mode for a while. You can even in Facebook set which notifications quite granularly you do and don't want to receive. The problem is, I think, that most people are not aware that you can do that because it's not easy enough.
What about the positive side though? Like, how can persuasive technology be used to be positive?
Good question, Rosie.
Very spontaneous.
Okay, shall I start again?
I think that while a lot of people focus on how our apps and products might be absorbing our time, a lot of products actually really bring a lot of good to people's lives. So let's look at MyFitnessPal, for example. This is a great app, and many people use it to log how much food they've eaten, and it's a weight loss tool. And what it uses as far as persuasive technology, it integrates what your basic human motivations are, whether you want to share things with the group, whether you want to feel part of a group of people. It allows you to do that. It allows you to form habits by notifying you if you have reached a goal. So that's positive reinforcement. If you haven't filled in your daily food log, it will gently remind you to do that. And I think that's just weight loss for an example, but when you talk about sort of health and healthcare compliance as far as taking certain meds.
What's the difference?
It's not a joke.
Between a cow and a carrot.
What is the difference between a cow and a carrot?
Carrot's green.
Carrots are orange.
That's brilliant. That's going in.
Where does good user experience stop being good user experience and become persuasive or manipulative technology?
For me, good user experience always has the user's needs at the core of it. So the moment you are designing to coerce people into potentially spending more time or doing things that they're not necessarily inclined to do out of choice, then it's a bad user experience.
Right.
But I do understand your point when you've designed something that's sticky and enjoyable, people will spend more time on it, and therefore that still would be a good user experience.
That's the point, isn't it? That these things are optimized for people to spend time, and that Facebook want you there for as long as possible. Netflix, Twitter, they all want you there as long as possible, interacting with as much as possible. That's how they make their money. So it's optimized so that these people make money. Mm-hmm. It needs to be optimized for our lives. So I went to like a couple of Google events recently where, like, you know, top Google people, they had dumb phones. I'm like, what's that? And they're like, oh, it's a dumb phone. I've got a business phone, but this is what I use every day now because I can't have it interrupting my life. And an assistant talk where they were talking about using the Google Assistant, Google Home, to enable people to leave their screens behind. That's a big part of their advertising campaign, isn't it? You know, keep your hands free, spend time with your children, interact with our voice computer. Maybe you don't want to do that, maybe you just want to go and play.
One of the things that I guess is helping this is the Apple Watch, though, because you can be out for dinner and it will just like push the most important notifications to your watch, and if it's really important you can reply, but if not you can kind of ignore it, and you're not actually then going into an app and getting sucked into something.
I don't want to be controversial here, although I do quite enjoy it. I feel like that's distractive as well, right? If I'm trying to spend, like, basically I think human relationships suffer from the smartphones, essentially. I think that's
sure.
the realization people are coming
but
to.
But it's a different interface to if you're on your phone and Twitter messages, like, yeah, tweets you or something,
you're distracted by a screen.
Yeah, and you're like more likely to go into it, whereas I feel like if it's on your wrist, you can just kind of look at it and then ignore.
And then just ignore it. But it's still an interruption to, like, human flow. If I'm trying to talk to you, Rosie, and, you know, candlelit or whatever, and I'm constantly looking at my, I'm just dreaming, I'm just constantly looking at my watch, buzzing. And
but it's so different to every different person. I think that's why the psychology behind it is so important, because what's an interruption to me is completely different to what is an interruption to you.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think if I was talking to you face-to-face and I stopped to look at my phone or my watch, that would just make me a rude bugger, you know?
Yeah, but everyone does it, so.
No, but if I'm in a meeting or I'm in a, you know, somewhere else where I'm not actively participating, then a watch or, you know, whatever you're using at that time, whether it's your AR glasses in the future or something, then that kind of passive notification is much, much different than the active going into your phone screen.
So, Rosie, thinking about how this relates to our company and the upcoming top secret Reek brand that was going to be launched very soon.
It's supposed to be a secret.
Oh, what
it's
is?
Not a secret.
I didn't say anything.
that was a joke.
How?
Don't point out the joke.
Guys.
Let me just explain that joke to you. The thing is, I said it's top secret, even though I just plainly just said it. Then Peter said that's supposed to be a secret. He recognised that what I said was no longer secret because I've just said it. And then I pretended I didn't know that I'd said it to keep it a secret. So that's that joke explained. So what I was going to say, Rosie, is how does this persuasive technology stuff relate to rehab and where we're going with brands as a service, providing useful technology to accompany people in their lives? Surely the last thing we want to do is be accused of manipulating people's time or detracting from their enjoyment of their lives.
Yeah, for sure. And I think especially with the work we're doing with brands at the moment, like Nike and Moët and companies like that, is we're trying to provide useful experiences for consumers rather than like pushing them to buy. So like, we think that rather than pushing someone straight to purchase or like trying to make someone spend money, it's better to give them a service or entertain them or be helpful or useful. And then, like, you know, if something gets bought as an end result of that, that's great. But I feel like that kind of annoying, interfering notification situation is usually because they want to monetize, right?
Right, so is this kind of related to the death of apps and all these other trends we're seeing? You know, as you mentioned, like the decline in broadcast-based advertising, like campaign-based in-your-face stuff, is the positive use of persuasive technology kind of linked into that to provide a more useful way for your life to intersect with these technologies and these brands that want to accompany you and give you use and be seen in a positive light?
Well, yeah, because if ideally you would only get notifications when you want to know those notifications, so therefore sure, the persuasive technology is being used to service exactly what you want. It's like in a personalized way, Whereas if you're getting notification all the time for things you don't want, then that's not what we do. So I guess they do link in somehow.
But we're always, always going to be in the line of brands trying to persuade us.
Thank you very much for listening. We will definitely be back next week. We're going to be back regularly doing our weekly podcast.
I've got some pretty good ideas for what to do next week, if I can get it past Peter.
Okay.
We're not doing the one about sex and technology.
Why not?
Bye. Bye. Thank you.